We say we'd rather restrain Mustangs than kick mules. I just want a group of people that I get to work around that aren't afraid to fail, that are, you know, are learning to be bold in the way they go up to guests, the way they, you know, that may feel wonky at times. But if we're doing that, we're going to be doing some really fun things, because I know we're going to be learning and growing together.
There's a Chick-fil-A operator in Georgia who has a tradition called Coffee with Kevin. Every new employee gets a chance to sit down, share their dreams, and soak up wisdom from their new boss, Kevin Williams. Today, we'll get a chance to have a coffee with Kevin, an inspirational chat about leadership, goal setting, and what it means to display irrational kindness. Hey there, welcome to My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast. I'm your host, Allison Storm. I'm joined by Jim Mann, who's probably kicking himself that he didn't write a book on irrational kindness before Kevin got to it.
Well, actually, Allison, I never thought about writing the book because that's pretty much just my life. It's who I am. I'm just extremely kind in an irrational kind of way. But however, I did get a call out of the blue from Kevin Williams. I didn't know who he was, but he just asked if he can write a book about my life. So that's what happened.
Oh, is that what this is all about?
Yeah, my name's not in it because, you know, I said, don't put my name in it. I'm humble. Just do what you have to do.
He hid that very well.
That's good. That's what I asked for.
Well, then you got what you asked for. I thought it was really interesting, though, because Kevin Williams has been operating Chick-fil-A restaurants for more than 3 decades. He's served countless customers and led over 300 employees. And through all that, he writes in his new book, Irrational Kindness, that if we want to find abundant joy and accomplish great things, we need to get our brains around the concept of being irrational. Welcome to the podcast, Kevin.
Thank you so much, Allison. I'm so excited to be here. This has been a dream of mine, and it's happening today.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, I want to jump right into this book of yours. What do you mean irrational?
Well, we're on this journey that we think the irrational can be one of the most beautiful things in the world when it's mixed with kindness. It's really all a perspective change to look at things from a different angle. Oftentimes you want to see things black and white and clear cut. But when you think of things from a different angle, such as love your enemy, that's a weird concept. And it's really irrational, but it's very beautiful when you get that down. When you see failure as an opportunity, it's kind of failure can be treated as something negative. But when you look at it as an opportunity, And for us, it's the journey we're on and really that we're enjoying being on. It's why we wrote the book for our team to say, hey, what if we just looked at things differently? It's how a fast food company can think they can change the world. It's weird. It's irrational, but it's a lot of fun.
Kevin, take us back to 1991. Allison had just turned 30. I was in first grade.
Wait.
And then
yeah. I think what? It's the other way around.
Yeah, whatever. And you started on a journey as a Chick-fil-A operator. What made you choose that path?
Well, when I was a teenager, I heard Truett Cathy speak, and I was cutting grass. So I had this entrepreneurial spirit about me. But when I heard Truett Cathy speak as a teenager, it was the first time I'd heard really somebody talk about not only the competition of business, the love of that, but also the love of people and how you could do both. And so I've always been intrigued by Chick-fil-A, how whether it was the idea of them being closed on Sunday, the spirit of Truett Cathy, of what he was doing to impact the lives of young adults. And so that always connected with me. But the opportunity came up to begin really digging deep, meeting some different people to say, hey, what if I became a franchisee? I was in banking at the time, and a seed planted, and I started a journey to try and talk them into it. Which I finally did. They just gave me a store that was losing money. My dream had a little more success in it than that. But they did end up giving me a store that was losing money. I think they probably just decided, what the heck, he can't mess it up too bad.
So, and now you have 3, right?
That's right. We're in Canton, Georgia, about 35 miles northwest of Atlanta. And it's been an awesome journey. It's been a long journey of that store losing money. You know, to eventually figuring out how to maybe make a dollar, and then eventually figuring out how to continue to get better and better. And it's just been a journey that's been a lot of fun, and to see changes that's been 28 years in the making to eventually get to where we're at today with our organization.
I love how honest you are in the book about how hard your job can be, because I think some of us, you know, that only see the outside of Chick-fil-A, we just see how amazing and awesome it is. But let me read this paragraph from chapter 2. You wrote, "Sometimes I sit in the crusty seat with the broken arm and crooked base that we keep in the restaurant office. The chair sits on a tile floor that needs to be cleaned frequently, near yesterday's cash tills that are $86.34 short, and the broken ice cream machine that the night crew mended with a straw. Sometimes I have felt stuck in an environment where sales were stagnant and profitability was in jeopardy, where we needed to find new people to hire because Cindy the biscuit maker called at 5:30 a.m. to tell me her dog was too sick for her to come in, and Tom just quit because he decided he was overstressed at work." Why did you decide to be so honest about those struggles you face as an operator?
Gosh, Allison, because that's the way it is. You know, oftentimes people see and you can see, and I know you celebrate Chick-fil-A in wonderful ways, and I do too, but we see it and it just looks like it's all put together. And we see people, they look all put together. We see things on TV or on social media that look all put together. But the reality is life is hard. Things are hard, and it's a grind every day. And those things are real. That straw was in there that somebody had stuck to hold it together. It's like, these are the real things that we're up against, but it doesn't have to mean, that doesn't have to define us. 80% of the day is doing these kind of things, just keeping the world spinning, keeping your job spinning, keeping your family spinning. But if you can find purpose, carve out about 20% of that brain and redirect and look further down the line, I think it changes everything. It allows us to relook and figure out what we need to get rid of, distractions that pop into our life. It's like, okay, I got to get rid of these distractions so I can find that 20%. And we all have distractions. The world is the most awesome place to be in the history of mankind since it's been around. But at the same time, we also have more distractions than we've ever had, between news, social media. So we really have to figure out how to carve those things out. So the realness of the day is just normal. I can't fix normal, but I can realize no matter what I'm doing, I can find that purpose. And when you do, it clicks everything. And when you get a 16-year-old to find that, it really clicks big time.
Oh man, I can't wait for my kids to start working at Chick-fil-A. It's going to be such a good influence on them.
Yeah, we have some people, now, some parents are like, my kids don't want to work, but we want them to work for you. I'm like, well, we're not really in the parenting business, but I do welcome the opportunity to bring them on. But let's make sure they want to be there too.
Hey, if there's free waffle fries, I'm sure they're in.
Yeah, I was going to say Allison just wants the free fries from her kids.
Yeah.
So sad. You were talking a little earlier about the failures. And in the book, of course, I read your book. Thank you. You talk about a wall of failures. What in the world is that about?
Oh, it's beautiful. And I get to share this with all our people that join our team. I just talk about, you know, whether I have a stock certificate that's beautifully framed on the wall. It looks amazing. It was worth $25,000 at one time, where my wife and I really dumped everything into this hot tip, and it's worth zero today. That gets to hang on my failure wall. You know, when I didn't make the soccer team my senior year in high school, after playing soccer my entire life, I didn't make the team. So I get a beautiful picture of that team without me in it. And it really, you could say, well, that's kind of depressing, but actually it just takes the power away from it. I just don't want us to get stuck in a place where these things that happen in our life derail us or make us feel less. They're really just opportunities to learn, grow. And when I can talk to our team and tell them, and we share them some awesome things, we actually have a podcast, and Princess is on the podcast. You know what my favorite thing she tells is how when she was at summer camp, she took a stick away from a child. Well, it turns out that child was seeing impaired. She stole a child's eye cane that they could see with.
Oh, no.
So it's awesome. And we get to have the most fun talking about our failures, and we're just stealing the power away from them. because we say we'd rather restrain Mustangs than kick mules. I just want a group of people that I get to work around that aren't afraid to fail, that are, you know, are learning to be bold in the way they go up to guests, the way they, you know, that may feel wonky at times. But if we're doing that, we're going to be doing some really fun things, because I know we're going to be learning and growing together. So I celebrate my wall of failure, and I get to add to it all the time.
What's the most recent thing you put up there?
You know, I was in the airport the other day, and I was throwing my glasses, my reading glasses, to my wife, and because I had borrowed them, and I was throwing them back to her, and this guy turned around, I hit him square on the head. He looked like he wanted to jump and just take me down the airport. So I don't have the glasses, but I get to talk about it all the time and say, you know, I'm wonky, I'm weird all the time, but the beautiful piece of that is just fun to celebrate. So,
well, I know besides your failures, you've spent a lot of time studying the life of Truett Cathy. What stuck with you the most?
You know, his life motto, he kept it very simple. He was very simple in the most beautiful way. He learned how not to complicate things. And so his life verse is, a good name is chosen over great riches. I just think that's awesome. And he just kind of rode with that. He wanted his name to be well thought of versus and it kept him always humble. It kept him always understanding what's important, and kept him always thinking of the generous side of life, the generosity, that's how important that is. But likewise in business, he was just a creative person in the most simple way. There's an example of one time they were sitting around, Chick-fil-A had gone to South Africa. Okay. And, they had started this entire, adventure of expanding internationally. And they picked a simple town of South Africa. Why not? It's really close by from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, here they are, they're struggling there. And it had started out well, and it would, you know, is any kind of business is foreign. It was much more difficult than maybe they had anticipated, or was really challenged. And they were sitting around in a group meeting and analyzing what they were going to do and what did they need to do. And during the meeting, Truett spoke up and said, "Have y'all thought about serving hot dogs?" And of course, everybody's looking at, "What are you talking about, serving hot dogs? We're not going to, you know, we're a chicken company. We're trying to solve these problems." And he's like, "Well, think about hot dogs." It was just his way of saying, think outside the box. And I think that was the beauty of the way I loved about it. He was always into seeking unexpected opportunities. And I've really tried to emulate that. Like, where am I looking around? If I'm just stuck down trying to do my job all the time, but if I don't find time to pick my head up and look, I'm going to miss some amazing opportunities. And maybe we need to look around and find that hot dog somewhere. Maybe we should consider serving hot dogs when you're stuck. And the spirit of that, that we can all have the ability, we're ridiculously in charge of our lives. And when we can think differently, it changes everything.
Well, they'll be good hot dogs, I'm sure. But it's time for a quick break. But when we come back, can Kevin stump you in a roundup nugget of truth? Don't go away.
I know you're enjoying our interview with Chick-fil-A operator and author Kevin Williams. Jim and I both loved his new book, Irrational Kindness: The Crazy Pursuit of an Extraordinary Life. It's an uplifting reminder that failure becomes opportunity, frustration becomes persistence, and uncertainty becomes a chance to dream. And here's something extra cool. All the proceeds from Kevin's book support foster adopt children and families in crisis. Pick up a copy wherever books are sold. Head to irrationalkindness.com for more information and to download a free group discussion guide. That's irrationalkindness.com. Now, back to our chat with Kevin.
Well, welcome back. We're speaking with Kevin Williams, who is an author of a new book, Irrational Kindness. It's my life story. I'm just kidding. And also, he owns like 27 Chick-fil-A's. Am I accurate with that?
Yeah, it's like that. It's like that. Or three.
Or it feels like that, doesn't it?
Some days.
Now, you name drop a few times in the book, referring to my friend Don Henley and my friend John Mellencamp. Is this like when I say my BFF Joanna Gaines gave me the best baklava recipe, which I actually just got out of her cookbook? Or are you legitimately best friends with these guys?
in my mind, we're really good friends, but it's mainly in my mind. They're not sitting around thinking of me as much as I am them, probably. So I think of everybody as my friend if I really latch on and believe in what they're doing.
Okay, so it is like me and Joanna Gaines.
It is like you and Joanna Gaines. We're friends. So you can now refer to her as your friend, taking my things. But okay, me and Mellencamp, great. You know, we've had our moments together. And but, you know, like I said, and I do dream of having one of his paintings one time. So someday. So I have my own version of friend, but it's usually in my playground in my mind.
Well, that's good. Now that we know the truth behind that, we're going to play a little game we call Nugget of Truth.
Nugget of Truth is like two truths and a lie. It's where you share three statements about yourself, and Jim and I are going to try to guess which one is made up.
I am so excited about this game. I cannot tell you how excited. I love this game.
All right.
Are you ready?
I have a feeling this is going to be a tough one, Jim.
I always lose anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Okay, the first time is... There's going to be a theme here. I don't know if y'all know, but we love cows at Chick-fil-A. You know, they encourage people to eat more chicken. So these cows we have gone on a lot of adventures here in camp. And I want you to tell me which ones are true and which one's a lie. So the first one is the cow. We have a new hospital in town. And it has there are cranes there all the time. They keep adding floors to it. So we had the cow go up to the top of the crane and scale down it on a, what do you call it, on a carabiner. They scaled down it using, what do you call that? Goodness gracious, they did it. What do you call it, where they go down on the...
Elevator?
No, where you scale down it like a wall.
Rappel?
Anyway, the cow... Rappel, that's the word. I couldn't get rappel. Yes, the cow... Rappel down the crane from the top of the crane. It was awesome. The second thing is, we had a parade, a Christmas parade, and the cow was in the Christmas parade. At the end of the Christmas parade, everybody left the cow and never took him out of the costume. So the cow walks down the street, sadly sits on the side of the road and waits for somebody to come get him out of the costume. Surprisingly, it took a long time for him to wave somebody down. It was like the poor homeless cow stuck on the side of the street.
Because everybody thought he was just friendly waving.
Yes, everybody just thought he's just sitting there hanging out. Like, why didn't you go grab somebody? When you're in the cow costume, you don't speak. So he couldn't speak to tell them to get out of his costume. I'm like, when you're stuck in the cow costume, you can speak to the person, okay? You can break character. But the third thing is, we ran a 5K, and the cow usually has a handler. Well, the cow lost his, its handler left him, or he outran the handler, and he ran down a road where a police officer was telling him to make a right. Well, he didn't see it because he only had a little narrow vision. The cow kept running and missed the turn and ran another extra mile in this costume. We had everybody looking for the cow. I had to jump on a four-wheeler. We started freaking out. I thought the cow had fallen into a ditch and died. But he ran. It wasn't until he hit a major road thoroughfare that we realized the cow gone too far, and he turned around and came back. So that's three cow stories. Man. Which one do you think is true and false? And
so many details.
I know, he was really good at all of them. I was trying to look for a hole in the story.
I'm gonna say the first one is a lie, just because of insurance. They ruin everything.
Okay. I think the 5K is a lie. You jumping on the four-wheeler was the point where I was like, did that really happen? So that's going to be my guess.
Well, the cow did get left at the parade, and the cow did almost die in the 5K, but the cow did not rappel down the...
Yes! Oh!
But don't get me wrong. I want him to. It's right there. And it doesn't have anything to do with insurance. Not my insurance. I just got to get our friends over at Northside Hospital to let me do it. The cow also, one time on another 5K, the cow is not allowed to run any unattended 5Ks anymore. Because there was another time the cow started getting all caught up in his time. And he passed across the finish line. But I realized as he was coming across the finish line, he was having a heat stroke. He fell down. We had to emergency get him out of this cow costume, take him over to a tent where he's kind of seek some medical attention to come alive again. I literally thought the guy was going to die. He did set a massive course record, though, in a cow costume. It has to be the world record. So cows have had lots of adventures.
Is that one on your wall of failures?
Yes, there's lots of cows on my wall of failures, trust me.
All right, time for another break. We'll be back faster than you can eat an 8-count nugget.
How exciting is this? Season 2. We're now in season 2. We had millions and millions of people listen to each episode of season 1. It might be a slight exaggeration, but there were a lot. And if you know of someone who, for some bizarre reason, missed out on this pleasure, get it, share with them the info. They can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Chick-fil-A Podcast and Chick-fil-A Podcast on Instagram. And, of course, we can be found anywhere you listen to podcasts. The easiest thing to do is just go to our website at chickfilapodcast.com. Welcome back. It's time for Food for Thought. Kevin, answer these 10 questions quicker than a trip through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, what's your favorite sauce?
Oh, Chick-fil-A. I like to throw in some buffalo with it, so I kind of do the mixture, Chick-fil-A and buffalo. It's irrational and beautiful.
That's very kind of you. So what would you like to see added to the Chick-fil-A menu?
Oh, the spicy biscuit would be fun to come back. It's out there in some markets, but we need to, I love that spicy chicken biscuit.
All right. What celebrity would you like to eat nuggets with?
I'd have to say John Mellencamp. I don't know if he eats nuggets, but I need, or Justin Bieber would work too. So Justin Bieber, John Mellencamp. Can I take both of them?
You can do it. All right. If you didn't work at a Chick-fil-A, what job would you like to have?
Oh, I'd love to be a high school coach, a football coach. I would have loved to seen how I could do in that environment. Would have been a lot of fun. Wow. And I thought All about right. it at one time, but Chick-fil-A worked out, so I kept rolling with that.
Good choice. If you could only order one menu item the rest of your life, what would it be?
It would be the waffle fries with some 8 nuggets and a sweet tea. And if I could go back in time, I'd probably throw in the lemon icebox pie. That was delicious.
Okay. What menu item have you never tried?
Well, carrot raisin, when it existed, was not my go-to item. Some people were really disappointed when we saw it go away, and those 10 people are not, you know, those 10 people go to the dwarf house and eat.
Okay. All right. Have you ever dressed up in a cow costume?
Oh, yes. I did a half-court shot at a high school game, and I missed it terribly. And it's really difficult. You know, you want to take time to get out of the costume before you need to go to the restroom. It's very tricky to try and multitask a cow costume and go in the restroom. So there's a lot of stories there, but the half court shot didn't go very well for me.
All right. I'm sorry about that failure. So how many nuggets do you think you can eat in one sitting?
Well, you know, when you get a nugget tray and once they've kind of gotten, I like to call them getting happy. They sit in there and just kind of all get happy together. You can knock back significantly more. You know, I'm going to say I'm not proud of it, but I'm honest. I probably could knock back 20 of them.
All right. Well, do you ever make yourself a secret menu item?
Yes. It's a white bun, the normal Chick-fil-A bun, with a grilled filet, and then you layer it with some waffle fries on top. And then top it with that other bun, and it's chicken and waffles, Kevin style.
Oh, my son does that. Crazy. Okay, here's the important question. Are you team nuggets or team strips?
Oh, team nuggets all day long. But I'll be surprised when I'm at an event and I have the strips with the Chick-fil-A sauce. And I can try and switch, but I always end up, when I get in the real world, the crunch time, I always stick with the nuggets.
Okay.
I can't believe I've never tried waffle fries on a sandwich.
What?
I know.
It's the perfect chicken and waffles. That. It's amazing.
So if I go to my local one and say I want the Kevin.
I tried it one time. I said, this is it. We're gonna start this sandwich here and we're gonna promote it locally and it's gonna blow up and we're gonna put it on the menu. And we did for a while, but you know, it gets a little complicated throwing out new menu items and promoting it for a long period of time. So I let it just become a thing of lore that you could ask for. So I don't know. They may look at you a little crazy for sure. But you can always come to Canton, Georgia, and we're there for you.
Done. We'll be there. Thank you. So before we wrap up, Kevin, we just want to know what's next for you. What big dream are you working on?
Oh, gosh. Here in Canton, we have it. It's in between our stores. It's 15 acres. We call it the farm. And we say where relationships are grown. It's where we're trying to grow relationships with our team members, with the community, with a spirit towards foster adopt children. And we really are really trying to see where God takes that. So all the proceeds, I hope you'll, from the book Irrational Kindness, you can get it wherever books are sold, but all those funds are going in to support foster adopt children and families in crisis. And that's what our dream is for this farm, to be able to create a space where ministries can come in here, folks can come in here, and we can inspire the next generation of how their work matters and how if a fast food can think differently, then we can all think, you can think differently about your own life, even in the middle of something that's really hard. But when you kind of think differently about the purpose and encourage each other on, this next generation is one of the most awesome group of people of all time. They are just so fired up, wanting to do things that matter. And it's up to us to really allow them to see that and think bigger and dream bigger. And I'm excited about where this could take the opportunity to pour into them. And we hope the spirit of irrational kindness that we talk about in there can be something that helps grow that.
That sounds absolutely amazing. And now, where can people connect with you?
Yeah, you can go to irrationalkindness.com. And you can, direct you to social media and learn about our stores, but also learn about what we're doing here at the farm. And I just am really grateful for you. I love what the energy y'all bring and the joy y'all bring in the message you're bringing about Chick-fil-A, but having a lot of fun in life. And Truett Cathy was a guy who taught how important fun is and not taking ourselves too seriously. We may take our work very seriously in what we're doing in life, but to be able to make sure fun. And I'm just grateful for you guys bringing that into the world.
Oh, thank you so much. If you enjoyed today's show, please do what a Chick-fil-A team member would do. Politely pass this goodness on to a friend. Take a screenshot, share it on social media, and help us spread the word. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, can you show me some irrational kindness? Pick up your phone, hit those 5 stars, and leave a review. We love reading them, and we'd love to read yours. Until next time, stay tender and saucy, my friends.
Special thanks to our sound engineer, me. And our co-host, also me. This episode of My Pleasure, the unofficial Chick-fil-A podcast, was written and produced by Allison Storm. But it was edited by me. For more information about me, visit manmadeproductions.com. That's man with 2 N's, madeproductions.com.